Welcome to the True Fitness Academy Podcast.
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 Your source for the truth in health and fitness. Now here are your podcast personal trainers, Jan and Tyler.
Hello and welcome to the True Fitness Academy Podcast. I'm Keon.
And I'm Tyler.
And we have a very special show for you today in...
Oh, well, hold on. I don't know if I'd go so far to say special show.
Well, this is the special meaning this is the only the second time that we have someone on the show besides Tyler and I, or me. Tyler and me. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, introducing, we've talked about him on the show once or twice. Really? As our friend in New York.
Who does rock climbing.
So we've talked about you in references to rock climbing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Reference when we've talked about like other types of activities
right.
that you do while working out.
And have you, our friend, as an update, our buddy Roberto or whatever.
Yeah, I think that's what we ended up
He sent us an email the other day. And if you don't know who we're talking about, case study, go back and listen to those.
He's either
one or two.
Number three.
Yeah, something like that. He has really gotten into rock climbing as of late.
Oh.
On top of our 5x5 strength program that we've given him, he's also gotten into that. So, as a brief introduction to our friend Sean. Sean is a longtime friend since about the same time Tyler and I met.
Yeah, since Keon and I have been friends, we've known Sean as well.
Yeah. And let's see. Sean has, just giving you, let me know if I forget anything. You can talk, just so you know. You don't have to just gesture. Because remember, this is audio.
Oh, this is a video?
Yeah, there's no
video. No, there's no video.
Where would there have been a video camera?
So I should stop dancing for the camera?
Yeah.
Off to
Why'd
a great
Why'd you guys
start?
Tell me to get naked, then? What the fuck?
Oh,
the one rule that we told you not to do.
That's what fully pronounced it, was what the fuck.
Nah, hopefully that... Well, that's F-bomb number two for the show. We don't go back and edit, just so you know.
Keon did it the other day.
I did. I was
like, literally like 3 days ago.
I was really mad. I was just frustrated.
Yeah, you just have to. It
okay.
Gets, you
yeah.
get used to it after a while.
So, introducing Sean. Sean was a cross country runner, soccer player, and current. He did some other
crap.
Track and field, all that good stuff that no one really likes. Nope. Anyway,
it's true.
As of late, he's gotten into. Well, not as of late. In the past few years, he's gotten into competitive dance as well as rock climbing. So
competitive as performing.
Well, competitive performing, whatever. I mean,
yeah.
it's
he knows dance.
He's
yeah,
at
dance.
An athlete at a higher level than most of us would
the
say
dance.
Dancing. So if you hear this, when's your thing tomorrow?
Oh, I teach tomorrow night in San Francisco, and just a lose lesson. And
this hand motion means talk louder.
Yeah. I'm gonna move this. Sorry, you're hearing the mic move. I know.
It gets
yeah.
you have to get used to it.
Well, no,
just
I have a lesson in San Francisco, advanced blues lesson at 8:30, and then also following weekend a workshop that I'm
Very
teaching
cool.
in San Francisco. So,
cool. So we'll put the location up there if you're in the San Francisco Bay Area and you want to
mm-hmm.
take some blues dancing.
Yes.
We'll put that information up there. And
can
you
describe blues dancing to me?
That is actually a good
less
question.
Than three paragraphs.
Ooh. Okay.
Somewhat compared to things that I might know.
Okay, so swing dancing.
Okay,
yes.
I know
okay.
swing dancing.
So you have East Coast and Lindy Hop and West Coast swing.
Okay.
And blues is done primarily to blues music, and it's a two-step.
Would it
so,
be slower?
But,
it is
Well,
slower.
I mean, blues music meaning, because when I think blues, I think like...
Da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, I think that. Okay,
yeah.
just making sure we're on the same
yeah.
page.
So it's slower. It's like swing,
slower.
But slower.
Yes.
I've heard
okay.
you describe it as sex with clothes on.
It can be,
oh,
yes.
Got to get it going on.
Yep.
Black Eyed Peas, anyone?
No?
No,
they, sorry.
Interesting.
Missed that one.
Mm-hmm. Weird.
Basically, a strong downbeat is needed for blues, and that's about it. And you
Does,
can dance
what's a strong downbeat, Sean? I really don't...
I have no idea what that is.
Seeing as both of us, neither of us are in the dance
okay.
world.
For an example, do you know the Charles Gnarly song? Or Gnarls
Crazy?
Crazy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gnarls Barkley,
you could dance blues to that song.
Okay.
Okay. That's a nice visual.
Okay.
Not visual, but
that,
audio.
That's a different genre
okay.
of music.
That we would know.
To. Yeah.
And this is actually kind of nice because so often I feel that people now with this Dancing with Celebrities
Yeah,
show,
Dancing with the Stars, yeah.
The has-beens or whatever you want to call
so
it.
You think you could, yeah, Dancing with the has-beens.
Whatever you'd like to call it.
Dancing with old people.
Yeah,
yeah, pretty much.
So, but with that, all these people go into it and they're like, I lose so much weight because they do basically cardio for
eight hours
a day, which, no duh. But it's this huge new craze, I feel, that
right.
people have been getting into to lose weight is dancing.
We've been talking about on the show Zumba classes. We've been talking about jazzercise and all that as ways that you can...
Strip aerobics.
That one's great.
Have you taken strip aerobics? No, you just enjoy the idea.
I like the idea a lot.
Yeah. Me too.
I knew a crazy girl that took it.
Like crazy, just like...
The one I told you? No, the one that bit me really hard.
Oh, hey there.
Oh, wow.
Our moms do listen to this.
I mean...
But it can be taken anyway. Not,
yeah.
Like,
that's true.
She just was... They were out at the grocery store, and she got angry and bit him.
Oh, yes.
Well,
that's the story that I made up in my...
Or I was handing her...
That's fine. You were in the grocery store, and she got angry, and she bit you. That's
yeah.
the story that
yep.
I just made up. We're sticking with it. Continue.
Yep.
Weird.
Yeah, how does that happen?
So, okay. So, but that's kind of interesting. So, it's more of a slower... Do you find... I mean, besides doing it for hours and hours and hours, do you... find that it's a good workout?
It's an incredible workout. Depends on how you dance, though. Me, I like to get my whole body into it, and it's blues is 100% connection. Like,
with the music or the person?
Both.
Okay.
Because there's only the
questions,
only
so.
Foundation, like Lindy Hop West Coast Swing, it has an 8-count, 8-step. Blues is a 2-step. It's side to side is the basic.
Okay, so you're just kind of
so you're making
pretty
and
much.
You're basically making stuff up as you go.
Okay.
And it's all based off creativity and connection. And I like to throw a lot of dips and lifts into my dance.
Okay.
So the whole time I'm doing lunges with holding the follow's weight with using my core, my back, and my legs to support her and lift her up.
Okay. So just as a quick definition, the follow would mean the lady.
The follow is the lady, yes.
And
sometimes
then,
a man, San Francisco.
Oh, I had another question, but continue. I'll think of it.
Yeah, and I've gotten really sore. I went dancing about a week ago, and I had a couple amazing dances, and the next day my back was so sore, my abs are killing me.
Huh.
And yeah, you can get
a lot of core work.
Yeah, and here's the thing, though, that I've really tried to incorporate into my dance, because about 2.5 years ago, I tore my hamstring dancing pretty bad.
I remember that.
It was horrible.
That was right after you got a massive concussion, too, right? Like, around that time? Because you got a massive
concussion
snowboarding.
No,
you attempted to flip and failed?
Yeah, that was bad. No, this was 2 or 3 years after, because that's before college. The hamstring was after college.
Okay, so you tore it dancing.
It tore it dancing, and the how'd
you tear it dancing?
That is the question.
Basically by trying to be a show-off.
But, like, what were you trying
okay,
to do?
Okay, so...
Were you trying to, like, lift somebody? Were you trying
no,
to...
No, this is a situation where we were doing something called a Lindy Bomb.
Don't know what that is.
That sounds like a delicious drink.
That
yeah,
does sound like a great cocktail.
Great. And that's where a bunch of dancers go to a bar that has music you can dance to, and we dance there. So we kind of enter as a bomb and, you know.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
so
you went off on the joke part. Okay, continue.
No,
that's actually
what it is.
That's how you...
So it's like, it'd be like you, me, Grim, and like a bunch of other people go grab a bunch of girls who do jazz dancing or blues dancing, and we just decide... We're going to that bar tonight, and we're dancing, right?
Yeah, yeah. And
then
if you get kicked out, you get kicked out. You don't. Normally, you don't get kicked out. We have been kicked out a couple of times.
Wait.
Why
would they
kick
you out?
Well, it's not a dance. So certain places,
I understand,
New York City.
Uh-huh.
This isn't San Francisco, but New York City. There's a law, a really, really dumb law, that you have to have a separate license if you're gonna have liquor and people dancing.
What?
Yeah, it's back from the 1920s or something.
Prohibition.
Yeah. And it's a burlesque license.
Okay.
It's like it's something about back in the after Prohibition, because liquor and stuff. They had a separate zoning and licensing for dancing and drinking in the same establishment, and it's still around. It hasn't been enforced for the longest time, but recently. It was being enforced by the new mayor of New York City.
Oh, because they can get extra tax dollars or citation dollars.
So,
that's stupid.
Yeah, so I was actually in a troop called General Mischief, and we had it was making fun of that. You know, the whole show was based, it was like skits and stuff and dancing.
All right.
Making fun of that fact. But
so you pulled your hamstring in one of those events?
Well, we bombed a bar, and
that sounds
we were
terrible.
Doing it. Yeah, and... All the terms actually sound bad, but we were doing a we were doing a little jam session, a circle jam, and yeah.
Okay, continue.
Yeah, and so that's where you form a circle, and two people, you know, lead and follow, dance in the middle and show off, and sometimes it's just a single person, and this is a Charleston song, which is a solo dance in swing dancing, and people are going in, and of course, everyone's trying to one-up each other. And so I was like, I'll just do a jump splits. And that's where I jump in the air and kind of turn around 360 and land splits. Horrible idea if you haven't stretched.
That makes sense.
Here's the thing. Your hamstring connects and attaches just under the knee and up at the hip. Uh-huh. So if you land in a split, both those points are
not
lengthened.
Good.
Meaning that you're at its maximal length.
And forgetting that I'm not that flexible to begin with. I tore my hamstring, my hip popped out of the socket. So like when I went to stand up right after that, I fell immediately down. Everyone's like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, I'm good.
Don't worry about it. Okay. So we got that. How about, minding that this is a fitness podcast, what are some ways that people can incorporate dance into a strength training regimen? Or if they're, because I know a lot of people who are just kind of hesitant to go take dance lessons and, you know, blah, blah, blah. What's an easy way
and
to
they're not them? Cheap.
No. It's like a personal training session.
Yeah, it's true. If you go through suburb areas or gyms, it's expensive. But if you actually go to cities where these dances happen, all you got to do is go to a regular venue and get there for a beginning lesson, and it's like $10.
Okay.
With the dance.
Okay. So say I want to learn how to dance. I go to your thing tomorrow, or today, tonight, right? Monday night.
Yes.
And
so,
I go
while
to your
we're
thing,
speaking, actually.
I pay the $10, $20, whatever it is to get in. Mm-hmm. And so I learn enough that I can get by, right?
Yes. Generally with venues is the first hour or so will be a lesson. And usually they'll have a beginning lesson. Unless there's everyone at the lesson has already been past that point, then they'll just have an intermediate or advanced lesson. And the beginning will go over the beginning steps, how to start a dance.
Okay.
And with blues, it's mostly like weight shifting, leading with your core, hand placements, everything you need to kind of get by.
Kind of fake your way through?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I do in most dances that I'm not good at, which is most. And from there, the advanced lesson goes into actual technique, like things that help you progress faster. And, I mean, usually it's $10 to $12 with the lesson, and if you get there at their lesson, it's like half that.
Okay.
But yeah, it's very affordable.
So, and then as you get better, you start dancing with better people, you start picking up the dance. Is that how you kind of got into it?
Oh, yeah.
I know that you went to the lessons, you got into it and met the the core dance group and got taught, right?
Yeah, I learned the hard way. Sometimes follows will let the lead know if they're doing something wrong.
Okay.
You know, they'll correct them or whatever. And apparently when I first started dancing, I was horrible because almost every other dance I had a follow telling me how much I sucked.
Oh, wow.
The follow telling me how much I sucked. Correcting me left and right.
Is kind of a good thing, right? Correcting you?
Probably the way she wasn't doing it.
Yeah,
was not
it did
nice,
feel
but
like
in theory,
a good thing.
It's good.
So, again, for our listeners, I mean, is that something to expect? Like, people are going to correct you? Or just because, I mean, we're just trying to dispel as many fears as possible going into this.
Well, I think what I brought is I had too much confidence in it because I was a hip-hop dancer before I started doing any partner dancing. And I was going to events with a lot of really good dancers. And I didn't know better, so I was just asking these really good dancers to dance with me. And sometimes they were really nice about it and it was great. And generally the really good dancers are nice. It's the ones who think they're really good and are better than you, but not by much, who tend to be just not so nice.
And that, I think, is universal.
And it's kind of with working out in anything, where it's like the people that are really good will help you out if you kind of look like you're not okay.
As long as you go in with a willing spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you go in with like a cocky spirit, they're gonna try and shoot you down. But if you go in with a spirit like, I know this, but I want to learn more.
You definitely need you got to have the attitude of trying something new and just going for it.
Okay, so that's a fun little cardio aspect. You also are a rock climber.
That is true.
Explain to me a day workout in the rock climbing field, because I've done it twice.
All right.
And I just was, the day I went rock climbing, I went up and down three times.
Well, I work at two gyms in New York City, and I've been climbing for a little over 3 years, so 3.5
pause.
Years.
Yes. What gyms, so that if our listeners want to come to your
Because we have people that listen to us in New York.
Yeah, oh,
wow. They can come see you.
Well, hello, New York. Manhattan Plaza Health Club.
Okay.
Located in Hell's Kitchen, 482 West 43rd Street.
Okay, Tio, Hell's Kitchen. Never been to New York. Sounds like an awful place.
If you hate good food, it is terrible.
Okay, so...
I thought it was... Isn't that where Daredevil lives?
Is it?
Daredevil, the Marvel
Super
guy. Isn't he from Hell's
In
Kitchen?
The 80s, it was a horrible, horrible place.
Okay, so it's been...
Actually, most of New York was.
Okay. So
but,
it's been
everything's getting better and better.
Yeah, Hell's Kitchen...
It just
Hell's
like such an awful place. Hell's
very,
Kitchen.
Very nice area. You'll have a... It's just all restaurants. So...
Okay.
Some
okay.
are overpriced. Most are good price. And you have a little bit of everything from German to Thai.
Okay, so after they do
yeah.
a little rock climbing workout with you at the Manhattan Health and Sport Club?
Manhattan Plaza Health Club.
Manhattan Plaza
MPHC.
Health Club.
Yep.
In what?
MPHC.
Okay. Initials. Got it.
Yeah.
So you can they could go get a guest pass there, work out with you at the rock climbing wall, right?
Yeah. We.
And if you heard, if you hear this and you go... Please tell him that you heard it
yeah.
from this. Because I just, I mean, I think it'd be interesting. If you are in New York and you can make it, go. I just want to...
Not this week.
Not this week because he's not there. When are you back in New York?
February 5th-ish.
Okay, so in late February, go see Sean at...
We actually, Manhattan Plaza Health Club.
And we will, and just tell him, hey, I heard you on the True Fitness Academy podcast. I wanted to work out. And he'll get you all set up.
And actually, we're having a competition, I believe, February 7th.
Oh, so go watch a competition.
And
or
it's
compete.
It's pretty fun,
yeah.
actually.
Okay. So, again.
What's a workout of a rock? Like, what are they? So, listener A all
right.
comes and sees you on February 10th, says, hey, Sean, I want to work out. Let's go. What are you doing?
Well, basically, you just kind of start them climbing because climbing is a workout.
Okay, but like what?
So what's the process?
Walk
so
me
I do.
Am I
so
doing this? What shoes should I wear?
So a brand new person, the process is they come in, we have them sign a waiver and all that jazz, and we set them with climbing shoes.
So it's like to rent. Kind
yeah,
of
and
okay.
it's like $5 a rent, but if it's we have a bunch of options for new climbers.
Okay.
So
continue.
Without getting into that, you get shoes, you get a harness, and one of the options is you can get a lesson called an orientation to learn how to belay and everything, so you can get on the wall and get on ropes.
Quick definition of belay.
Belaying, so you have two
Quick.
People climbing. One person climbs, the other person belays, and what that means is there's a rope attached to the climber that goes to a focal point or connection point above you, and then back down to the person on the ground.
So you're pretty much their anchor.
Your anchor, exactly. So if they fall, they just kind of float there, and that's for top roping, which is the type of climbing you definitely start with
Got
rock climbing.
It. Instead of bottom roping, which in case if you fall, you get pulled to the ground, right?
The well, I like
rope?
That here. That was,
that
I,
was
got
it.
I got the visual.
Oh, okay, I get
top
it.
Roping, you would fall. It would hold you back,
yeah.
but bottom would pull you down. Yeah,
the thing
I
got
get
confused
that.
Is,
I got the visual.
That's kind
of there
funny.
Is another type of climbing where you both have the ground, or both are on the ground, starting with a rope on the ground, and you clip the rope in.
Yeah,
right. Or if you watch James Bond movies, which is I think it's
yeah,
for
or Cliffhanger, I think they do it
For Your Eyes Only. You do what's that kind of climbing where you climb a little bit and you nail something into the wall and then you clip to it and then you keep climbing. What's
that's
that?
That's called traditional climbing, trad. If
wait,
you're
wait.
Nailing things into the wall
into a rock,
if
into
you're nailing
rock.
Things into a rock, you're actually putting pitons in or different protection in. Piton is something you nail in, bolts is something you drill in, and trad climbing is nuts and cams. That you actually place in cracks
oh.
that expand in a way
I've
so when you
those.
Fall, the pressure...
Do I need to know this if I'm working out in it?
Well,
not at
I
all.
Asked the
he asked the question.
I did ask the question.
But this is a loaded question.
I was like, what?
Because there's a lot of different forms of rock climbing. It's not just simply going up a rock and coming down.
All right, okay. Let's go back to top roping.
Top roping. So you get a lesson, you learn how to belay, and then you start climbing.
Okay.
And generally, we don't just belay people, so you need a climbing partner.
Oh.
Great thing about the gym, though, is what's really popular in our gym is the bouldering. Bouldering is another form of climbing. So you have top roping and bouldering. These are, and we have lead climbing gym, but that's a whole other issue.
So let's just start with the basics.
So,
so
bouldering
what I'm
is
gonna
the basic.
In
top roping and bouldering.
Okay.
Where would you start? If I, Tyler, was going to work out with you, where would you start me?
I would generally try to start in top roping. Okay. Only because it's a little bit easier than bouldering.
Okay, so I get in the harness. You're belaying me just because we're buddies and we're doing it. I start climbing. That's all. Like, I'm just, we're climbing. That's basically all we do all day.
You climb, and what's really important is stretching beforehand. And that's what the whole thing with the hamstring dancing. Stretching is just so important with everything you do.
And as we've talked about on the podcast, very controversial subject, so continue.
Yeah.
I would say that this is one of the times where stretching beforehand makes more sense.
I would agree with that.
And
so.
But not just beforehand, warming up. And that's the hard part.
How do you warm up?
Yeah, warming up. Do you do jumping jacks or?
No, you climb a little bit.
Like, so you just literally, do a light climb?
So a great way to warm up, if you can, is like an elliptical or bike for 20 minutes. And then you can do some push-ups, sit-ups, and then you traverse. And so traversing is going from like right to left.
My
to
part
ground.
Of the podcast is when Keon says things that are really, really smart, then I try and get him to dumb it down as much as possible.
Which is my favorite part too, because then I sound, then I feel awesome.
Yes. So traversing is going left to right, just staying low to the ground. And basically you're just doing any holds and you're warming up your fingers, your forearms, your muscles.
So you're literally a foot off the ground and you're just going back and forth.
Sideways. Yeah, back, forth, or around a room. Because in our situation, we have two rooms, so you can go all the way around a room.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
Yeah, it's fun. And it's a great way to warm up. And after that, I spend at least 20 minutes to 40 minutes stretching.
So this is a two-hour event, is pretty much what you're saying.
Rock climbing is one of those things that's so addictive. You can do it for 6 hours and just keep going, and you're not, you don't feel like you're working out. You're
what if I only
fun.
Have an hour? What, like, how would I do that? Would I warm up, like...
If you have an hour, I would say warm up on an elliptical, go hard for 10, 15 minutes.
Okay.
Stretch for 10 to 20 minutes, or 10 minutes. You can do a quick stretch in 10 minutes, and then I would just say climb. Rock climbing is not really a fast type of workout, though. There are fast workouts. Rock climbing, yeah, you could, but the problem is it's such an injury-prone sport with your fingers, ligaments, and joints.
Right, because you are dealing with a lot of precise movement.
Yeah, you're putting a lot of your body weight on your fingertips, and it's one of those things where, you know, you're on your toes, your fingertips, you're on small points of contact, and you're trying to exert like your full strength to do very difficult moves sometimes.
Right.
Now, if you have a high wall situation, a gym with top of a high wall, you could do... Instead of doing that warm-up on elliptical and stretching, you can start on really easy ones and do laps where you climb
like,
up and down a bunch of times.
There's easier courses where it's more like just kind of flat going
you just,
up and down.
Basically big holds. You just go up and down a bunch of times, do that for like 20 minutes, stretch for 10, and then climb an additional 30 minutes hard, and that's your workout.
Sean, a lot of what I'm hearing is seems like it's more advanced work because – I mean, mind you, you know, we're talking to a group that's never done this before, but so does that, do all the same rules apply?
Yeah, rock climbing is just, it's very fun, it's very beginner friendly, it's just one of those things that takes time to get good at.
You just gotta kind of jump in and do it?
You really do, and it's fun, and the best
it's
part
hard
about
is
it...
boxing, too.
Yeah, and actually with everything, any sport, like water polo, just kind of jumped in and did it. Rugby, just kind of jumped in and did it, so...
It's... The nice part about rock climbing, though, is it's addictive and it's purely muscle training. Like
I agree. I mean,
an injury less injury prone in the impact sense, but more in the pulled muscle area if you're not careful.
Okay.
If you don't stretch.
And one thing I want to just point out real quick is that we say just jump in, but don't just go buy a whole bunch of rock climbing gear and then start climbing a rock outside. On the mountains, because you'll probably get hurt. So go get a trained professional like Sean or someone in the area.
I know how to belay, but no, nothing.
Exactly. I've been climbing a few times. I know how to belay. I know how to do all that. But still, I like going with someone who knows what they're doing. It's scary.
Outdoors is a totally different world from indoors.
Okay.
Let's just
stay in indoors.
The fitness center that I worked at had a rock wall, and I was belay certified or whatever through them. And I did it for one day, it was actually like 2 or 3 days I went out there. And it's fun. Like, it's nice and addicting, like you were saying, where it's just kind of, you get in the flow of it and it's nice. It is the one thing that I notice is that you have to have someone else with you. And that's always difficult for me because I'm a morning person. I work out most of the time by myself. So that's kind of the one thing that listeners need to be aware of is that it is kind of that find a buddy, do it together kind of an aspect.
to a degree. I agree with what you said, but a lot of places now, bouldering is the new thing in rock climbing.
And bouldering is just kind of where it's like a room of rocks and you jump around?
Yeah, so bouldering, the term comes from climbing on boulders in the sense of boulders are usually smoother, low to the ground, and there's a boulder sitting on the ground. And the idea is it's climbing at the max of your ability for only a couple moves. So it's very hard moves, low to the ground, and only a couple moves.
Okay.
And what it focuses on is strength and technique. And that's how, like, you see a lot of guys who are really strong climbers. Usually it's through bouldering. Because you don't get a great endurance, but you're doing the most intense core and arm workouts over and over and over again. Because it's all about failing till you succeed.
Right.
So you really just, yeah.
And so what's a bouldering room look like?
Usually anywhere from 10 to 12 feet with big pads underneath you because you're constantly falling and all you fall on is pads. So it is something you can do by yourself.
Okay.
As long as there's someone around, so if you were to land wrong and break an ankle, they could, you know, help you up.
I had a buddy in college, Ben, Big Ben. He had a bunch of crash pads in his car for a while because he and his buddies went up to the mountains and did some bouldering.
Mm-hmm.
So very interesting.
Yeah, and it's. Bouldering is very addictive because it's fast, it's easy, in the sense of you don't need to buy anything other than your shoes and a crash pad and chalk.
Okay.
All you need to boulder.
And the chalk is for what?
Chalk is to keep the... So when you're climbing and working out, you sweat.
Yeah.
So sweating and grip, especially... or don't
it
really,
helps more with grip than sweat.
So chalk, what it does is it
I always
takes,
wondered that when I saw it. Mm-hmm. Like, I was just kind of like,
cause,
really, is it that... I mean, I don't do it enough to realize how much my hands would sweat during the process, but I figured it was more for grip.
In my opinion, chalk is at least 50% mental.
Okay.
It's a mental thing where you initially start doing it because it helps the sweat, but people will definitely chalk up way before they start climbing because mentally it's almost like a ritual, you know? You get into the pattern of chalking up a lot, so you do it.
Like it's almost like a baseball player. Like
I was going to say, when I play, what I was going to say,
I'm just saying,
pine on the bat.
Yeah, when I played softball, I would always grab dirt before, and I'd like rub dirt in my hands and get my hands all dirty before I'd grab the bat. Like,
okay.
That was just
this,
the same concept,
yeah, it's
I guess.
Similar, but chalk definitely does have a actual use to keep your hands dry while climbing.
I've used it before in weightlifting as well, doing Olympic lifts and that kind of stuff. Like when you're going for 1 RM. Big lifts. I've definitely experienced the aid it can have in lifting. So.
Oh yeah, I mean, they use it in the Olympics. It's used for a lot of things, but yeah, it's. But you'll notice, like, if you watch videos or if you ever get into rock climbing, you'll notice some guys chalk up like none other. Like they put a ridiculous amount of chalk on not only the front of their hands but on the back of their hands, because there's a mental aspect to it, but. Climbing, especially when you get outdoors into harder stuff where you're taking big falls called whippers, and it's a different form of climbing. But I mean, I've taken a 30-foot whipper where.
Wait, I mean, you fell 30 feet?
Yeah, it's a different sport kind of climbing. When you're outdoors and you're leading means you're the first person up, and it's either you're doing sport or trad. Either way, you're clipping the rope in through quick draws into the rock as you go up.
So like you would be doing with the nail and whatever, but they're already there, right?
They're already there, or you have gear you put in. But same difference. The idea is if you, say you have the rope, tied to you and you have the Blair beneath you and he's feeding you rope instead of taking rope.
Uh-huh.
You put the rope through a quick draw and say you're 5 feet above that quick draw when you fall. Okay, so you have 5 feet of free fall between you and that quick draw. But that rope is also out 5 feet because you're above it. So you have another 5 feet, which equals 10.
Okay.
Then you have rope in the system. So say you're 100 feet above your climbing partner. You have a lot of rope in that system, so it's going to stretch at least another 5 feet. The rope's dynamic, so it'll stretch another 5 feet.
Oh, wow.
5 foot fall turns into a 20-foot fall like that.
So you went, you pretty much fell 15 feet. Like
no,
you, I mean, like from
free fall, and by the time you stop, you're about 20.
But I mean, like from your last clip, you fell 15 feet, and then boom, another 15 feet on your 30 footer that we were talking about.
No, earlier. On the 30 footer, I was only about 8 feet above the draw.
Really?
Yeah.
Because of all the fall, and then you.
Yeah. I was just trying to get the difference between a 5 foot fall and what you.
So there's been times when I've been the most run out I've had to be in when I'm and
run out some more rope.
So run out means, normally between draws is anywhere from like
Just so you know, we also like to have these about 30 minutes.
Yeah, so we're coming up on the end of time.
So yeah, so like normally it's just between 3 to 6 feet, depending on who puts the bolts in or gear in. I've had a 70-foot run out before, but it was on a very easy climb. But basically, if I were to have fucked up or to
twice in one,
you were doing so well.
I know I was stopping myself and everything. I didn't swear. That was
if you messed up. Okay, so if you messed up, you were in trouble.
Yeah, but it was a situation where you get to a point where you know your ability, but you know outdoors rock can break. You know stuff can happen, and so it's really your own. And that's the difference between outdoors and indoors. You don't come ever into a situation like that indoors. Outdoors,
so that's where you
dealt with those choices.
That's where if you want to try rock climbing, go do an indoors place first and foremost. Try it once with somebody. See how you like it.
One last question before we wrap this up. If I'm going to a place, is there anything I need to look for or ask the instructors before going, like to make sure that they know what they're talking about, or because I'm kind of entrusting my life to them in a certain way. Is there anything that I need to say, hey, I blank, you know?
Like, we did a boxing one, and I told them that if the personal trainer is going to just teach you how to box and they don't have you wrap your hands, stop, turn around, and walk away.
Right. Anything like that?
That's a great question. There's a lot, actually.
How about the key thing? Two things that you can think of, just off the top of your head. Like, do you teach belaying? Is that a good question to ask? Or, I mean, where would you go with that?
That's a tough question. To be honest, I guess the only thing is if they don't ask you. Basically, they don't take the time to ask you what your experience is, and they don't actually care, then yeah. But
that
normally, it's one of those things where that's like
they cared about you,
yeah,
then it's good.
It's one of those things where like an instructor really has to know what they're doing. So to come across one that doesn't
is rare.
Isn't necessarily rare, but it's like I guess go with a friend who knows what they're doing.
Okay. So find someone.
And if you don't, then yeah, take the time to ask questions to the instructor, just like, it's one of those. Yeah, that's a tough call.
Okay, in the grand scheme of things, as long as they know how to belay and I'm being belayed by them, I'm not gonna die, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, just that's like.
So I'd almost go watch for a little bit, pick which one you want belaying you.
Uh-huh.
And then ask that person
actually,
what you belay.
I got a better answer for you just out of it.
Great.
If you have your own safety, you know, thing, and like if you ever have a moment where you don't feel safe and you ask them like, oh, do you mind making the rope tie or something? Or like, and they say, no, you're fine, that's not good.
Okay.
So if they don't adjust to you and making you feel comfortable, that's
exactly.
Get out of
there. That's the number one thing about a climb instructor is to meet the person where they're at.
Where's the limit though? Because someone might climb a foot off the floor and be like, I'm not comfortable. Is that and they're like, you're fine, keep going. Because where's the line between being pushed and danger?
If I have someone, and I get this a lot, where they start to freak out within feet, I go, all right, well, I just start to talk to them. I start a conversation. I'm like, okay, tell me what's going on, because I have you on safe. But I have had people that have serious problems with height and trust safety. I let them down. I talk to them. You know, I'll have one of my employees blame me, and I'll take a big fall on purpose with a lot of slack and show them that they're safe. And I'll work with them, and 90% of the time, we get them all the way to the top.
Okay.
But the person just like, no, you're fine, do it, and they're like just not being nice about it.
They need to be patient, work with you.
We're talking about a very primal fear of heights. Everyone, right. If you're not scared of heights, you're very rare, and that will get you killed.
Right.
Climbers, almost every climber I ever met has a fear of heights. And
that's
fear of heights keeps them alive.
Great.
To respect the fact that, yeah, if I fall and I hit the ground, I'm probably going to die.
Okay.
And it's the ones who are just fearless are the ones who eventually get themselves killed.
Okay. Spectacular. Well, thank you, Sean.
Great. Yeah, that was a fascinating look into the life of dancers and rock climbers. Because, again, world.
It's kind of a weird duo, too.
Yeah.
If you really think about it.
Yeah.
Well, here's something for your podcast. If you viewers want to see something spectacular, look up Project Bandaloop. It is dancing and climbing.
Oh.
It is dancers climbing hundreds to thousands, thousands of feet up and dancing while suspended in their harnesses on ropes on walls with partners.
What is that called?
Project Bandaloop.
So B-A-N-D-L-O-O-P.
B-A-N-D-L-O-O-P. Okay. B-A-N-D-A-L-O-O-P. Project Bandaloop. You can find them on YouTube. They have a website.
Oh, that's cool. All right.
Yeah, Bay Area-based dance crew that travels around the world.
Very cool. All right, well, I think that will do it for today. If you have any questions or comments for Sean, pop us an email on our Facebook or email us at podcast@truefitnessacademy.com and we'll forward you on to Sean. And again, if you're in Manhattan, go look up the Manhattan Health Club. Manhattan Plaza Health Club.
I feel like there would probably be a Manhattan Health
Club
so as well.
Manhattan
so it's Plaza.
Yeah. Okay. Go check that out. And again, if you see Sean, tell him that you heard about the club through us. I think that's it.
That's it. So I'll leave you with celery.
Celery. Excellent. Again, thanks to Sean, and we will talk to you guys tomorrow. Peace.
I'm a man with his pickup girls. I'm a nice one, I'm grease in his pillow. I'm a name he don't want to know. No.